Studio 360.
We get a whole bunch of new records by artists we don't know here in Studio 360 every week, and it's a pleasure to go through them. Every now and then, I hear one that I really love, and this is one of those. It's a new record by an artist named Margaret Glaspie. She grew up in a small town in Northern California in a very musical family. She played Texas-style fiddle, really seriously played it, also played trombone in the school band, and now she sings and plays guitar, and that's what her new album, her first album, is all about. It's called Emotions and Math.
No matter who got you down, even the weakest of the weak have come around.
So I asked her to come in all by herself without that band and play for us. Welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you for having me.
And before we talk at length and in depth, will you play a song?
I would be happy to. This will be Emotions and Math.
Which is the title song of this album.
Yes, the
great
title track of the record.
Let's hear Emotions and Math.
Okay, great.
Side. Oh, everything's alright. It's just when you're gone, I start to snooze the alarm, 'cause I stay up until 4 in the morning, counting all the days till you're back. I'm shivering in an ice cold bath of emotions and mad. Oh, it's a shame and I'm to blame, 'cause we're alright until you go and I start losing control without warning, counting all the days till you're back. I'm shivering in an ice cold bath of emotions and mad. I've got to get out of this tree or off of this limb. I'm a woman acting like a kid, a skinny mess that's breathless from telling you all of the things that I'm gonna do. This limb, I'm a woman acting like a kid, a skinny mess that's breathless from telling you all of the things that I'm gonna do.
That was Margaret Glaspie singing and playing the guitar on Emotions and Math, which is the title song of her new album. And I should tell the listeners that here we are in the beautiful Jerome L. Green Performance Space, a place where concerts are held, and here we are with virtually no audience.
So, virtually no audience.
So You wrote and performed every song on this album.
Yep, and produced.
And produced it. Why did you do everything? What made you want to do the whole thing?
Because I was doing all of it, I suppose. And any time that I'd kind of consider bringing someone else on, it just never quite made sense because I knew what I wanted already. It just felt like it was just going to get in the way if someone else was involved. Like when I was making iPad demos of the record, that was a large part of the production process because that entire time I wanted to make it so that I didn't need to wait for other people to put things on there. So that meant that I had to write the songs in a way that they were already complete without other band members. My goal was to try and make the songs as bulletproof as possible So I didn't have to – I could perform them solo and still feel like they were complete.
I'm just curious, again, as the person, as the performer, writer, producer – you're in for these 3 days, you're in the head of I'm performing, I have to perform these. But that's not a separate kind of brain condition than the technical production aspect.
It was challenging at times.
Yeah.
I would at times question myself and I'd say, I can't be in the booth and playing at the same time.
Exactly.
And I would get really frustrated with that. That's certainly a frustration of me wanting to produce my own records and knowing that I can't be two places at once.
Yeah.
And I did the vocal completely by myself with just the engineer and me and no one else in around. And that was like a total psychological marathon in this crazy way of, taking notes in front of myself on the music stand directly after a take so I could catch, what I liked about it and listening back to them and really producing myself in that way that was so hands-on.
And your first serious instrument was the fiddle?
Yeah. That was the first like serious instrument. I played, other things. I played the trombone when I was in elementary,
band.
Middle school. I played school band.
And at what age are you this cute little fiddler?
I was in third grade when I started to play the fiddle.
Oh. but you were serious. And I didn't know that there's this big national competition circuit of child fiddlers.
Yeah, the national and adults, the national old-time fiddle competition.
Right, I heard the old-time fiddle. So at some point you decide, there's the guitar. I can do that?
Yeah, I mean, my whole family, there's quite a love of guitars. I remember several guitars always being around the house, and there still are.
Your dad, your mom?
Both my dad and my mom are super musical. My dad's always played guitar since we were young. My mom is more recently got really into the guitar and plays some fiddle too. My brother plays guitar really well. My sister plays. I'm not special in that regard in my family. Everyone's super musical, for sure.
And that's when you're a teenager? When did you start playing the guitar?
Kind of more seriously when I was probably about 15 or 16. I would start to kind of learn the progressions that would go behind Texas-style fiddle music. And then from that, and some of those chord voicings are actually they're kind of tricky.
Harder than rock and roll?
Well, there's old-time fiddle. I won't get too into it because you could talk about this forever, but there's an old-time fiddle and then there's Texas-style fiddle. And from going from one to another, the guitar actually got kind of progressively more jazz influenced and a little trickier.
You mean in the history of that?
Yeah, and in the kind of style, backup style guitar. Huh. And so I started to kind of wrap my head around these kind of jazz chords and passing chords, and then I kind of started to put down the fiddle and I didn't really care anymore about playing that music, and instead I just wanted to play the guitar all the time.
Well, there's also presumably more ways to go being a guitarist than being an old-time fiddler.
Exactly. I have a lot of respect for that music, and it's an amazing tradition, but at the same time my brain was kind of itching for other things, for sure.
Well, let's hear another one of these songs that you wrote and that you will sing and then that you will play from Emotions and Math. Which will this be?
This is going to be a song called Situation.
Great.
Take your hands off of me. There's nothing wrong with me. I don't write sympathy. Don't you dare pity me, 'cause you don't know my situation. We've had it most one conversation. Don't come out of the blue and tell me what to do. Sure, I show up looking my worst, make a point and curse, and you think you're gonna be the first to change my ways after the day, but you don't know my situation. We've had at most one conversation. You haven't got a clue, so don't tell me what to do. asleep in anybody's chain. Call me a rebel, call me a renegade, whatever fits the mold you made. 'Cause you all know my situation, we've had it most one conversation. You haven't got a clue, so don't tell me what to do. One conversation, you haven't got a clue, so don't tell me what to do.
That was Margaret Glaspie playing Situation off her new album Emotions and Math. I'm always curious about singers and the differences between their singing voice and their speaking voice.
Interesting.
I mean, they're different. How you sound as you sing is different from the voice as you're speaking to me now. How conscious of a creation is your singing voice?
I think it's just as conscious as any artistic style, I suppose. You know, I've always sung in some kind of way that's reminiscent of the way I'm singing right now. So at a young age, I think I kind of yelled. It was really loud when I would sing. And then from there, I feel like I've just been carving it down into what it is now.
Yeah,
I mean, it is certainly cultivated in the same way that everyone's art is kind of, you've got
sure.
a style. No,
there's
a
country bit to your voice. You were a vocal studies major when you attended the Berklee School of Music in Boston, not a guitar student, not a violin student, because at that point you decided that's what I need to work on?
Yeah, I mean, it speaks to who I thought I was at the time. I feel like I was a singer. I wasn't as good at guitar or as active at the guitar as I am now.
Uh-huh.
I thought that you were supposed to kind of sing jazz standards in order to get into Berklee. Or,
right.
I kind of catered to it in a certain way because I didn't quite understand that you could go in there and just sing songs and be yourself. That's kind of what Berklee is about in a certain
right.
way. So I kind of applied as a vocalist and did that for only a semester. I was only there for a semester and had a grant to go there for that time.
If somebody had written you a check for $200,000, would you have stayed for 4 years? And
I probably wouldn't have stayed for 4 years. I may have stayed for another year or a couple years, but my ticket to get over to the East Coast, which I'd always wanted to do
really?
At a young age, was going to school.
So last year, you appeared on this very interesting album with the banjo player Jamie Stone, which is you and he and a collaboration of other musicians reworking songs recorded in the field by the famous Alan Lomax in the 1930s and 40s, which you and they rearranged and reinterpreted. I want to play a clip from one of the tracks, which features you on vocals.
I want to hear somebody play. I want to hear somebody play. Somebody pray. Oh, I want to hear somebody pray down in the valley. Over yonder, I want to hear somebody pray.
So that song and that music on that album is very different from what you write.
Yes.
And what you do. How did it feel to be in this other mode?
I was involved in that project for about 2 years. And for me to play that music, it's a very large stretch, actually, from what I'm doing now. I learned how to essentially be on the road and see what that felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And I had never really toured extensively before. And also just learned so much about music history in that project.
It sounds like it was another year or two of school.
Exactly. I just learned so much about what I crave in my own music and also about collaborating with other people. I mean, I feel like I'm the worst band member in a certain way because I like things the way that I like them.
Says the woman who produces her record and won't let them give her a producer.
I won't say that I'm not a team player, but
right. As long as you run the team.
As long as I'm running the team, it's fine.
Will you play us one more song before you leave this empty theater?
Yes, I will.
And this song is You and I?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Great.
Oh, tonight I'm a little too turned on to talk about us. And tomorrow I'll be too turned off and won't give a what about you and I don't want to see you cry, but it feels like a matter of time. I'm not looking for an open door to talk about love. Maybe you agree, but I see you saving pictures of you and I don't want to see you cry, but it feels like a matter of time. Here I thought we had some kind of understanding that we're no Dick and Jane out on parade. Not looking for lengthy or demanding. Nothing's lost if nothing's gained. A smile is just a smile, a kiss is just a kiss. So I see you all the while reading into it. No, there's no you and I don't want to see you cry, but it feels like a matter of time. I think you might be harboring a heartache. I think you might be crying when I'm gone. You and I have been a mistake. I let it linger too long.
That is Margaret Glaspie playing a tune from her new album, Emotions and Math, which is out now.